And we welcome in the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, joined us on Flames Talk this afternoon. I know that we just spoke with you, Brad, last week, so we appreciate the time once again. We really do. Just how are you feeling about the business you got done today?
Well, good to hear your voice again, Pat.
Don't lie.
Happy Valentine's Day. Make sure you guys are looking after those special ones in your lives. So that's most important. We feel good. You know, any time that you can improve your team, which we think we did here today, and bring in a real good player that I think is, you know, really addresses a lot of needs for us. You know, it's a good day. And listen, you have to give to get in this league. And you have to give to get good people. So we paid a price today. But if you want to get quality, you got to give quality. But, it's exciting, and we're excited to have, Tyler is part of our group.
I know you talked to the media at large earlier on Monday, Brad, but how did this one all come about? How long does this acquisition process go back? I guess take us through the process of finally finalizing the deal to bring Tyler onto the team.
Well, I mean, it really got finalized if you talk about it. The last 2 days, it was a late night last night. And early morning this morning, so the last probably 48 hours is when, you know, the last 24, I guess, is when, you know, we sort of put this thing to bed. These things have long runways. You know, we've had a lot of interest in Tyler for a long time. And then you go through the process of, you know, with your staff really all year, you're going through your acquisition list of, you know, every position, every role, and your ranking, and you're constantly sort of going through that and meeting with your group, and, you know, then you're watching your team, and you know, those things sort of have to come together, of watching the team and where it's going, ultimately the belief you have in it. And also, you know, Pat, you take a whole bunch of things into account, not the least of which where you are as an organization. And, you know, there's certain mile markers that you watch in terms of your performance. But then you know, there comes a time when you believe that you have a chance that you have to strike. And, we all know where we are contractually with some players. You see the performance that we've had collectively as a group, individually with certain players. And, I mean, you take all the information and then you have to have a gut to say, you know, this is a time that I said it today, the group has done their job to this point. And by no means should anything be taken that the heavy lifting is done, quite the opposite. It's just starting. We have a long way to go to get into a playoff spot. But I felt the work that the group has done, it was time for the manager to do his job today. Hmm. And so these discussions with Montreal probably started. Listen, you know where everybody's at in the league, and you're talking to managers, not only about players, but, you know, sort of direction of different teams. It hasn't gone the way they wanted it to go in Montreal for a lot of reasons. You know, we know the injuries they've had. When Gortz took over there, I talked with him at length. We had a lot of conversations and, you know, sort of got the ball rolling on things. And then knowing that he was going to bring in a manager, known Kent a long time from his agent days when Kent got the job, we picked up those conversations and we're able to get something done today.
Brad, pick up on that if you can, because when we chatted with you last week and asked you about, you know, going after a bigger name or a bigger player, impact player at the deadline, you came right out and said, you know, you've never really been big for the trade deadline pool. That's not an area that you have taken a dive into in the past. So what about you? And then you just talked about the mile markers right there. So what about this year is different than in years past? What about this team is different?
Well, I mean, we've had playoff teams here in the past. We've had years when we've missed. I like how we're playing. I think it's that feeling you have, Pat. And again, this means we've got to go get the job done. But you know, you're around the game long enough, you know when it, you believe it, and you believe it. And I believe it in this team. And I also understand that, you know, this is an opportunity with a group that's playing very well, that had a specific need in our opinion, when we talk amongst our staff, and Daryl and the coaching staff, and a player became available that we felt really fits that need. But it's, you know, listen, we have players that are priorities to get signed. The reality is they're not going to be making what they're making next year, what they're making this year. You see in a cap system, there's players on entry-level deals that you try to maximize windows. And this isn't, you know, you hear the old saying, oh, you're throwing all your chips in the middle. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as saying we feel we got a good team. We're trying to make the team better. We think we can. It's going to help us in the last 38 games or whatever it is this year to help secure a playoff spot. And then once you're in the dance, you know, anything goes. But I like the style that we're playing. To me, it's a sustainable style. It's, you know, listen, I use the late great Ken King, and I had a great line back my first year in 14-15. Listen, we made the playoffs and it was great, but we made 18 30-foot putts. It's like winning the Masters and you chip in from the fairway. It's cool, but it probably is not going to win you a lot of open championships. So to me, it's, you know, I like how we're playing. I think it's a style that can have success, but we've done squat other than put ourselves in a decent position after 40 some odd games. We got a lot of runway. There's always risk when you're putting in, you know, in picks, but that's the job. It's a high wire act. And, I believe in this group and, I wanted to help. And that's what we try to do today.
Brad, you mentioned a couple of times, you know, the contractual situation when this team comes to an end and, you know, how guys aren't going to be on the contracts they're at right now going forward. With Tyler under team control and with 2 years left on his deal at a very palatable cap number, but do you think that makes it any more difficult to get the business you need to get done this summer done?
No. The players that need contracts are, you know, you're talking elite players. That's our priority for them. We've said at training camp we're not going to discuss that publicly. We will move heaven and earth to get those players signed. That discussion is for another day. But this wasn't an either or. This was a opportunity to add to a group that to me makes it better. And it doesn't guarantee us anything. It makes us work. And to me, when you've got a chance, you step up and you take your swing. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is just you're adding a good player here. And I think Tyler, you know, Pat, we've had this conversation many times before. You know, there is time and a place for the rental market. For me, it's, you know, it's hard when you put in, you know, and when you're talking about top players, you know, the reality is most of those players walk. This is a player that we paid a price for, but he's here. He's a good player. He's in the prime of his career. He's under contract moving forward. This doesn't impact. There's always cap challenges. That's the job. So we've got to, that's our job to figure out. But yep. Those players that need contracts, we've been quiet about it just because we do business quiet. But those are priority people for obvious reasons.
Brad Treliving's with us, Calgary Flames general manager, joining us here on Flames Talk, Matty.
Brad, also wanted to ask about just how you see Tyler fitting into this from a hockey perspective, because I listened to your comments earlier today, and I think a lot of fans see Tyler as a goal scorer for sure, but he's got a real complete 200-foot game to him as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's part of the attraction for him, and that's where, he shoots it in the net, and it's the hardest thing to do in the game. And that's why he's made the living he's made. But this isn't a guy who doesn't cheat for his chances. And it's interesting. Like, if you go back and look at, and I would put him as, I made the comment today, there's certain guys that need six or seven whacks at it to get it in, and then there's certain guys that the puck falls around the ice and they take one and it goes in, right? It's a gift. But, you go through those type of players and then also say, okay, those players that you would consider, he's a goal scorer. How many of those players do you also throw over the boards first to kill a penalty? Or when you're up in a game and you're closing out a game, or wins a puck battle on the wall, or, you dig into his data, is a shot, not only, a heavy shot volume guy, but he kills plays defensively. So I think it's a really underrated part of his game that there isn't a situation that comes up in a game that you can't put him on the ice for. And those are unique guys, and they're very valuable guys. And, he plays both wings. So I think there's lots of versatility, and sometimes you see that versatility in a lot of players, but it's rare that player also is a guy that, perennially scores 20 plus goals. So I think he's a really good player. The other part of it, guys, he's got a ring, and I don't think those things are, he's been through the journey and knows, until you've been there, I think those are important things, around your group. And we've had, we've now got a few guys that have been there. He knows how to look after yourself. He knows the wear and tear of a playoff grind. He knows those things. And, you guys will get to know him. He's a really... Now he's got leadership ability. Talk to the people in Montreal, talk to the people in every stop he's been in LA. He's a popular guy because he does it right. And, he's won, and he's a hell of a player. And, we made ourselves better today.
Brad, you mentioned the last 48 hours are when things really started to pick up and gain traction. We're still 5 weeks out from the trade deadline, give or take. So why was now important to get the deal done? Why was it key that you get it done now, well ahead of that deadline?
Well, as I said before, a few reasons. You never know when a deal comes together, right? You never know when a deal comes together. So sometimes it comes together and you don't, you can hope it does, but it's got to fit, and so ultimately that it happens when two sides feel it's the right time. I think one of the things you really have to look at is in today, especially the last couple of years, and I think especially right now, like what we've looked at a lot is because we're in a time over the last 2 years where you're going to see very limited cap growth, and you've got, you know, pretty much the whole league, and especially those people that maybe you would classify as teams that are going to go out and buy, they're all up at the cap, right? So traditionally, and it makes the most sense, the longer you wait and the closer you are to the deadline, the more cap space you're going to accrue, right? It maybe gives you a wider swath of players, you know? So we looked at it and said, you know, yeah, you're going to burn some powder going early, but does it get us in the game earlier than somebody else? If somebody else doesn't have the space or still wants to evaluate things, you know, ultimately we made a decision, this is the player we want and let's push hard to get it done now. Does it give us, is there a market inequality here that separates us from somebody else? And so that was part of it. Getting a player in, I think especially when you're talking about a significant player, getting him in early, it, you know, we all think of it, you know, and I know we all look at it. Sometimes it's fantasy hockey that you just go get this piece, shiny piece off the shelf and stick it on a team. Teams don't work that way. You got to integrate, you got to fit, and people have families and there's transition. And the closer you get to deadline, traditionally families stay at home. So the earlier you can get somebody in, feel comfortable. You know, we all hear the sayings, well, I feel better in the third week than I did in the first week, and I feel now more comfortable and I'm up to speed. You know, so there, if you've made the decision, get him in. We got a lot of hockey in front of us. We got 17 games, 34 points before the deadline. So yep. We thought that was important. And then the closer you get to the deadline, Berkey and I would always joke, it's like five lanes of traffic merging into one. You know, there's profanity flying, you're cutting people off, and it gets crazy. You know, it gets a little bit all over the place the closer you are to the deadline. So for those reasons, we thought if we could strike early, let's strike early.
Final one for you, Brad. Just with it now being 5 weeks out for the deadline, and you've made this splash in the trade market, are you still looking to do anything to upgrade your group between now and the deadline?
Well, I mean, and I know you used the word, this wasn't about making a splash. This was, I felt this is a time to make our team better with a real good player. We're going to watch now, Pat. We're going to watch. We're going to do what we do. We're going to watch. You know, you got to be careful again of just adding to add. Like, to me, there's a fit here. You know, we've talked, you guys have probably talked, the coach obviously has got a history. He's got a history with players. He knows what to expect tomorrow morning from Daryl. Daryl knows what to expect tomorrow morning from him. That's a key component. Like, it sometimes takes people months to figure out how a coach works. So, you know, so there's a uniqueness with Tyler here. We're going to watch. I would tell you this, if we can add something to help our team, we're going to keep working here. We're going to keep in touch and watch the games and see if there's other ways to help us. And we got 5 weeks to go. So we're going to watch them. And if we can find ways to help us, we will, but you know, we're happy with what we did today.
Brad, thank you so much, as always, for the insight. Really appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Have a good night.
Thanks, Trey.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour two rolls on this February 14th and a Monday afternoon. It's time for our weekly Monday chat with the head coach of the American League, Stockton Heat. It's time for the Farm Report as what's happening in Stockton, the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames. They're coming off a loss and a win over the weekend. Friday, a loss 5-2 to the Ontario Reign, and then a 6-5 shootout win over the Reign on Saturday. Hello, Mitch. Good to have you on the show, as always. How are we doing today?
Good. Yourself, Pat? How you doing?
Doing very well, my friend, and appreciate you making the time. I know that you've got a little bit of downtime and a little bit of an extended weekend for the group because you're not playing again until Saturday. So thanks for doing this on a day off. First of all, the big team makes a big trade today, and I know sometimes that can disrupt the American League roster. And I know that as a head coach of a team in the AHL, you're kind of you go into it assuming that there's going to be some disruptions and some fluidity when it comes to your roster, but kind of nice to see the team make a big deal and your roster remains the same.
Yeah, well, obviously that's a big addition for the Flames up there today. Obviously getting a proven scorer in the National Hockey League, a guy with Stanley Cup experience and familiarity to Darryl. I think it was a great pickup. And like you mentioned, not having it affect, our roster here and some of our top prospects is even better. So I think it's a good day for the Calgary Flames organization.
Well, tell us about your weekend, Mitch. As I mentioned, the 5-2 loss to the Rain on Friday, and then you bounce back with a 6-5 shootout win over the same team the next day. How would you characterize the weekend?
Well, we knew it was going to be a challenging couple of games for our group against a very good hockey team. And, you know, Friday night, we felt we weren't quite sharp on both sides of the puck. Ontario took advantage. I thought they had a lot of purpose to their game, a lot of hunger, probably coming off a loss themselves the previous weekend. And a loss to us a few weeks earlier was probably motivating them. But I really liked our group's response the next evening. Wild hockey game, very entertaining for the fan base, and it was a big 2 points, and to get that extra point in the shootout, in the season series as well.
Nice to, and you've seen this at different times this year. We've talked about it at different times this year, but your group suffers a tough loss one night and bounces back the next night. That's kind of turned into a bit of a theme for your group, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know what. Our guys have done a remarkable job of being resilient in terms of bouncing back from maybe a tough loss the previous night, and we often talk about the response from our group and what's our character going to look like that next night, and we really liked our 5-on-5 game. I mean, we give up a few power play goals to the top power play in the league, which is going to happen from time to time, and our PK has been real sharp all season long, so you're going to have a few nights like that, but our guys did a great job in the response. And, it was a big win headed into these 3 days off where guys can kind of reset themselves before coming back to work.
I know that you and Ontario have had some really heated battles this year. They've been physical. They've been nasty at times. You're fighting near the top of the AHL's Pacific Division. Could be a potential showdown come the postseason as well for you. How closely matched is your group and that Ontario team?
Well, it's close. I mean, I would say, from an identity standpoint, we feel like, when we're sharp, we're real tough to play against in terms of not allowing a lot from the opponent and checking the game very well. Judging by giving up 10 goals this weekend, we probably got some work to do there. But they're a very dynamic group. There's a lot of emotion in those games. We've got them another couple times here before the end of the season series, and hopefully it's potential playoff matchup, but we got to get there first.
Yep, for sure. Mitch Love's with us, head coach of the Stockton Heat, the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames. A bit of a tough weekend, I guess you could say, for Dustin Wolf. He plays both games Friday and Saturday between the pipes, but I'm curious as to, even though he wouldn't be happy with allowing the 5 goals in each game and all that type of stuff, I'm just curious as to your observations on how he battled and fought through what was one of his tougher weekends this season.
Well, on Friday night, we didn't give him a lot of run support, obviously. We didn't play very well defensively in front of him. And then for us to go back to him, we felt like it was a chance for him to have a good response game. And, look, that position, those guys are so highly critical of themselves when maybe they feel like they've had a tough night. We didn't look at it that way as a coaching staff. We looked at it as the unit in front of them wasn't very good. We weren't sharp checking the game where we needed to be in our identity. And Dustin had a great response the next night for us and gave us a chance to win a hockey game.
You got Yusso back in your lineup on Saturday. Yusso Valimaki returned after serving his suspension. How nice was it to have that addition back on your blue line?
He was great. I mean, again, he had some time off with the suspension. You know, gave us some big minutes on our penalty kill, our power play, play key minutes. Again, that's a really deep position for us. And so, you know, we're starting to get healthy again, guys back from suspension, whatnot. We've got some great internal competition there. So guys are going to have to be on their toes and make sure they're performing properly.
Today's prospect we wanted to focus on. We've been doing this over the last number of weeks. I wanted to focus on the weekend that Emilio Pettersson had. Scored in both games for you on both Friday and Saturday. His offense starting to pick up a little bit. He's got 4 points in his last six games. Tell us about Emilio's season and some of the progression you've seen from the former Flames pick.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I know he's been a bit snake-bitten offensively here, you know, a good chunk of the season, but the two goals he scored over the weekend were within 5 feet of the back of the net. So that just tells you when you go to those hard areas and looking for secondary opportunities, you're going to get rewarded, and that's exactly what Emilio did this weekend. It was a real good sign for us, for him and his confidence offensively. You know, we had Glenn Godden, you know, was out of the lineup for us. So we needed some guys to step up. Him, Mark Simpson stepped up with a big goal for us. And that's what you need this time of year, especially when you're playing elite teams like Ontario and trying to find some of that, you know, what you would call secondary scoring for us.
It's funny because, you know, when Emilio was drafted by the Flames going back to 2018, not a lot was known about him as a sixth-round pick. And, you know, ever since that time, whether it be his time in the USHL or in the NCAA, he's only upped his stock. And the one word you keep hearing about him is relentless. I'm curious as to if you see it the same way, the way that he plays. Is that a good way to describe him?
I think so. I mean, he plays with a ton of energy. He can skate the game. He's quick. Very, very talented offensively. You know, you mentioned that throughout his career. He's a young player still. I mean, I know sometimes players get a little antsy in terms of their progression and feel like they need to score right away. Well, it's a tough league to score in. And, you know, I've seen a big growth in his game away from the puck this year, his maturity as an athlete and a young pro. And I just hope, you know, this past weekend for him to score a couple big goals for us, you know, it only is something for him to build off of, you know, in terms of his all around game and try to help, you know, his second year as a pro here.
I know that it's not as big a deal as it was maybe, you know, 15 years ago, but this is still, whether it be the American League or the NHL, professional hockey in North America is still very much about having size, and we're talking about your team, whether it be Jacob Pelche or Matthew Phillips or Emilio, who's a 5'10" guy. They've been able to have success. What allows a quote-unquote smaller player to have success in some of the highest professional leagues in North America?
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned it, Pat. The game's changed a lot. I mean, those guys are, you know, they're well-equipped to play this game. You got to use your brain. You know, got to use your speed, your quickness to elude checks, get the pucks first. I think those are things that, you know, if you look at our roster, we have a few of those guys, but they're quite talented. They're, you know, very highly educated in the hockey IQ side of things and are able to get the job done. And, you know, that's just where the game's gone.
With Mitch Love, head coach of the Stockton Heat. He joins us every Monday here on Flames Talk. And, Mitch, as we start to wrap up with you, I know that it's a few days off, so it's a day off for the coaching staff as well. What does the head coach get up to when he's got a little bit of downtime?
Well, you're stalling my golf game right now, Pat, a little bit. But other than that, no, we're all good. This is actually my first round of golf here this season. So my girlfriend's in town, and
nice.
You know, we got a little time away from the rink, and my golf game's really rusty. I can tell you that right now. There's a reason I don't golf during the winter. So, but it's been good. I know a lot of guys were getting away here. You know, staying in state, spending some time with each other. I know some guys are out having a bit of a golf outing themselves, so it's good. It's been a long grind so far. We've got 29 games left and hopefully some playoffs, so the guys need that little break, and they've deserved it.
Without getting too specific, but where are you playing? I San Francisco, am I right in that?
No, you know what, we're just north of Stockton here. I know it's, of course, a lot of the guys play at Spanos, it's called the Reserve at Spanos. A very nice track. Weather's been real nice down here lately, so
Yeah, it's been a good day so far.
Beauty. Okay, and we'll get you back to the course in just a second. Before we do that, you've got a home-and-home this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, with Bakersfield, the top affiliate of the Edmonton Oilers. Tell us about the next challenge for your group as you look ahead to the weekend.
Well, Bakersfield's a team that's playing really well. They have for some time. They're starting to get some bodies back. We've got Alex Stalock's there right now. Depending on what the Oilers have going on their goaltending situation, Skinner's been down. So they're a tough opponent. They always are. They play us hard. It's going to be a big weekend for our group. We haven't seen them sometime, so it'll be something that should be a lot of fun again for our guys.
Mitch, enjoy the rest of your downtime. Really appreciate the time this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Pat.
He's Mitch Love, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames. They've got a little bit of time off. They played on the weekend. They don't play again until this coming weekend when they've got a home-and-home set with the Bakersfield Condors. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 13-time Consumer Choice Award winner, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or order takeout or delivery by calling 403-248-3344.